Blog Talk Radio.
And that sound means that the Frat House Sports Garage is open on this first Sunday of October, a dreary one here. Kind of looking typical fall. It kind of looking like chase weather. That's what it's looking like, yeah, for sure. As we are heading down to Dover International Speedway today. I'm going to be honest with you, I just can't begin to heap enough praise upon the chase format as we know it. It is it's a cut day today, and I got to tell you something. Dover, normally, in my opinion, you don't get real exciting racing, but for gosh sakes, I think we might just get some here today. I don't know, you know. Whenever there's a cut going on, you got to think that perhaps maybe there might be something exciting that's going to occur here today. Last week, we had Kevin Harvick getting the free pass through the into the second round of the chase. And he joins Martin Truex Jr. as we now have two drivers, and again, as I pointed out, we could have a third today. Don't know. That's the big question. Will we have a third today? I mean, the way I see it, you could have any one of a couple of different circumstances occur. You could have a chaser win it today. You could have a non-chaser win it today, or you could have one of the bubble drivers. One of the things we'll be spending a lot of time on here this morning is we're going to be taking a look at the standings. We're going to be taking a look at those that are right now considered to be the bubble drivers, who are the four that potentially will get cut out of there. And we're going to take a look at that. Got to be honest. Comments coming from Tony Stewart this week. It sounds to me like he wouldn't give a damn if he were one of them. Interesting. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm reading too deeply into it. But we'll touch on Tony Stewart's comments as well. We heard from Dale Jr. again this week. Got a little bit of an update there, and well, we'll fill you in on that one as well. If we get some time in here this morning, we'll take a look at what's happening just up the road from us in Maple Grove, at Maple Grove in Reading, Pennsylvania, with the NHRA Countdown, their third event of six. Hard to believe they're almost halfway through it as well. And we'll get to all of that. We'll get to your calls as well if you want to jump in here with us. 347-826-9964. That's how you can get a hold of us. 347-826-9964. Otherwise, you can leave us a message in our Blog Talk Radio chat room. Or, hey, don't hesitate to hit me up on Twitter. I'm always checking my notifications at Frat House Mike. That's how you can get a hold of me here at Frat House Mike. All right, well, let's see who we got here. I think I've got Sidekick getting messages back and forth here that I'm not quite sure what's – we have a little – are we having technical difficulties, or is just one of us having technical difficulties here, Sidekick?
I think one of us is having technical difficulties.
Okay, all right. So,
but while he's having technical difficulties, allow me to start my Sunday morning – intro. Guten Morgen, Herr McShane and Herr Hain. Welcome in zum Oktoberfest.
At
Dover. Baby.
That's what I thought. We're taking you on an Oktoberfest theme here this morning. Hey, no problem with that. I'm enjoying it. Is it too early to pop a cold one? I'm not sure.
Absolutely not. It's Oktoberfest. Prost.
Now, do you really get into it in this month? Is that a tradition with yourself?
It kind of comes and goes. In that,
there is something about the cooler temperatures, the kind of crisp air.
Yeah.
I mean, you do kind of get that. You know, I'm not a big fan of it, but I mean, you know, you get a nice bright afternoon where the leaves are changing color and what have you. I can find myself, you know, enjoying a little Oktoberfest sort of activity.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I know how you kind of like the bash fall, and you know, I believe you, I and Brandon suffer the dreaded seasonal allergies. So, you know, spring and fall are not usually kind to us in our noses.
Nope.
but, you know, I do kind of like the fall. You know, I definitely not a winter person, but, you know, nice thing about the early part of the fall, you know, you got the leaves changing, you know, it starts to cool off, you can have fires. You know, you sit out and enjoy some fires. You've got Halloween. You know, there's Oktoberfest. You know, Oktoberfest is always fun. You go sit in a, you know, sit in a bunch of tent, you know, in tents and drink a bunch of beer and, you know, listen to music and, you know, that's always fun. So, you know, it's you know, it's not all bad. You know, I do miss the, you know, the summer, but hey, you know.
Yeah, I hear you. The, you know, like I said, it is here. It is. It's the beginning of October, and I was just recollecting with Brandon yesterday. 5 years ago, I actually went to my very first NASCAR race. I went down to Dover 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, almighty! It was a day very much, very kind of similar to today. It was, but it, I think it was actually probably a little colder than it is today. And it was gray, and it was damp, and it was rainy. Not enough rain to stop the race from going, but it was kind of a misty, foggy, you know, very dreary sort of. Oh my gosh, it was brutal! It was brutal at Dover. I think
well,
we got through about.
You know,
I think
you're
we got through
high
about.
Up in the stands.
Exactly. Yep. Yep.
You know,
I think we got
windy,
through about.
It's...
Mm-hmm. I think we got through about three quarters of the race, and that was about it. That was about it. Enough of that. Too darn cold. So in that, I mean, from that respect, it's ugh. But and you know, look, Dover's been affected by the weather this weekend. No doubt about that one. In fact, a crazy situation. No qualifying on Friday because of the weather. No Xfinity race yesterday. So, in fact, they're running that race right now as we speak. I believe that race was supposed to start at 10 o'clock this morning. And then we're going to be going, we're supposed to go with our scheduled Sprint Cup race at 2 p.m. this afternoon. And the crazy part of it is, and I can't even imagine this, you got guys who are running in both races. I can't even imagine. I mean, you no sooner get done one, you got to, I mean, no point in even, there's no break. You just get up and go to the next one. I can't imagine the stress level of trying to pull that one off. And you got to wonder whether that's going to affect, you know, potentially could it affect the outcome for some of our particularly for chase drivers, you know, because I know Keselowski's running in Xfinity. I think Kyle Busch is running in Xfinity. And then also going to run in Sprint Cup. So, you know, both of those guys are chasers. And you got to wonder, is that going to affect it? Could it have an impact on fantasy? These are all interesting, interesting questions. Not that fantasy is that important. That's not as important.
Well, the other thing you got to imagine is, you know, Dover is boring.
Yep.
From, you know, really from a, I mean, it's exciting to watch racing, but, you know, it's, you know, the track is so small that I can only imagine riding around that track. You get into like this rhythm.
Yep.
You know, it's a rhythm track because it's so small. It's, you know, it's like a roller coaster. You're up and then you're down and you're up and you're down and you're, you know, and it's just, you know, for what, 400 something laps, I think, for the Sprint Cup race.
Yeah,
and then you 400. And then you're running, you're throwing an Xfinity race in before that. I mean, I can only imagine the boredom that must set in during, you know, just that wave that you ride for, you know, and they're going to be doing it for, you know, close to what, 8 hours now? You know, that's got to be, you know, just, you know, mind numbing.
Yeah, the tedium involved in that. Now,
you know what I mean?
I will say, loyal listener Liz is telling us that apparently the cuppers are not running in both, that it's too close to the Sprint Cup start. And yet I had a report from our good friend Christian Coley yesterday, who, you know, if anybody knows what Christian does, a motorsports news source, he's very well in tune with what is always happening on the ground. He reported that, in fact, the cuppers are running in both races. And as I pointed out, Brad Keselowski being one of them, I think Josh Wise is another one who's running from the back of the pack today. I think he's coming out of the 40th spot in Sprint Cup. But
it looks like there's a handful. Bowman, Blaney, DiBenedetto, and Wise look like the only ones I can see off the top, watching the rundown on the screen.
Okay.
So you got four of them.
So Keselowski and Kyle are not then?
No. Somebody else is in the 18 and somebody else is in the 22.
Okay. All right. Obviously,
so, yeah.
you have the race going live right now. You must have it going live. Yes. Okay. And we have you
live. At
least
something works this morning, you know?
I was going to say, yeah, we've got you live, which is good. That's very good.
You know,
it's
funny, I was in 10 minutes early. I could hear all the countdowns. I could hear everything. And the show went live, and I got nothing but dead air.
Oh, wow.
I could hear nothing. I heard everything all along. I heard our, you know, little countdown thing. But then when the music was supposed to start, I got nothing.
Oh, because I know you've been having some sound issues, but I was thinking those were pretty much on your side.
Yeah.
But that sounds like
it was just
that sounds like it was
died.
On BTR side as usual. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Hello, Newman.
we'll get to him. We'll get to him, I suppose. I don't know. Is there any need to get to him? I don't know if there's any need to get to him. All right,
other than playing our fun sound drop, no.
Yeah, exactly. We just like going through the sound drops every once in a while.
Yeah. Took us 5 years to get that sound.
To get Hello Newman, yes.
As much as we sat here and everything else, took us
Hello
5 years
Newman.
To finally get that sound drop.
Hello Newman was one we were dropping, I think, 5 years ago.
Yeah, we were doing it on our own.
But we were dropping it without the sound, exactly. That's very funny. All right. Well, I appreciate the update there, Brandon. That's good to know because as of last night, I'm thinking to myself, wow, that I mean, but even for those guys that aren't affected, you know, the DiBenedettos and the Josh Wises and who else did you say was in there? Did you say Blaney was in there?
Yes, Ryan Blaney and Alex Bowman are running in. I guess if you think about it, the Alex Bowman kind of makes sense because I think it's his normal ride.
That's just right.
So Blaney really doesn't make a lot of sense, except he's really not running. You know, he's not in the chase. So I guess that's, you know, understandable. And obviously, DiBenedetto and Josh Wise are not.
Mm-hmm. I mean, even for those guys, though, I mean, despite the fact that, as we just pointed out, it's not necessarily going to have an impact on their standing vis-a-vis the chase. Gosh, I just can't imagine trying to pull that kind of a task off. I mean, that's like, although I think it's probably even more intense, that's like pulling off the Indy 500 and the Coke 600 in one day, right? I mean, that's what that's like. I mean,
not really. I mean, 200 laps is nothing. They're already over halfway through, and this race isn't even at, what, an hour? It's probably about an actual hour old. They're at 107 of 206 already. And, you know, I don't think you can compare it to doing that double, because it's only 200 miles.
Yeah.
And in total, it's only 600 miles, so it's really not much more. It's no more miles than doing just a Coke 600. I don't really think it's that big a deal. And they probably will end up, I bet this finishes before noon, so they'll have a break, a little break anyway. Because the other one starting? When's that start?
2 o'clock, I suppose. I mean, well, it won't be two, but, you know, probably driver announcements are at like 2:15 or something. But as Sidekick points out, Brad, Dover is a monotonous sort of track. And I could see a driver getting hypnotized driving that track. I mean, I think I kind of alluded to it at the beginning of the program, and Sidekick did as well. And you've been to Dover many, many times. I've only been there once, but boring track. Yes. I mean, would you agree? It's a boring track. It's a boring track to kind of watch a race at, and it's got to be a monotonous kind of track to drive at.
Yeah, I would think so for the most part. It's the same thing over and over and over again. And it used to be a 500-mile race. They made it into a 400 because the last 100 was just unbearable to watch live, especially if it was a hot June day and you were there in the summertime and dying in the stands. So, you know, they improved it. It's not a bad race to watch. The problem with it is, you know, you very rarely get a lot of people moving a lot. You know, once everything kind of settles out in, you know, the beginning, and then, you know, then it comes down to, you know, really they pass a little bit, but it's not a lot of side-by-side pass. It's a lot of follow the leader. Kind of, you know, more on the boring side.
It's follow the leader roller coaster riding.
That's probably a good explanation. Combination.
You know, if you look at Dover, you know, because of the banking, that banking is ridiculous.
Yeah,
when you see it in person.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, I stood on the front stretch at Dover, and the TV cameras don't do it justice.
No, they don't.
The banking just on the front stretch. So, you know, when you look at Dover, I mean, you're sitting in the stands, you're almost looking straight down, you know, at the track. So literally when you watch them, they come up high in the, it's high in the corners and then low.
Yep.
Coming out of the corner and
coming
then up.
Out.
If you were to take that and just straighten that out, it literally is a roller coaster. You're going up and down and up, you know, as you hit your marks on that track. So, and that's what it, you know, so that's essentially what it is. It's follow the leader on a roller coaster, you know? And it's, you know, when you get those long green flag runs, that gets boring as hell because it's, you know, it's almost like watching a tennis match where, you know, you just watch a ball go back and forth, you know?
That can be exciting. That can be more exciting than watching Dover.
Yeah. You know, it's the restarts. And when there's, you know, unfortunately, when there's a wreck or there's a, you know, a caution, you know what I mean? And everybody kind of bunches up and then it, you know, people are trying to gain spots. That's exciting until everybody starts to get into that, you know, that rhythm again where, you know, everybody just does that follow the leader thing, you know? You know, it at the last Dover race with, you know, NASCAR John and some other friends, you know, and it got exciting when Kyle Larson and Matt Kenseth were going back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
and, you know, were trading the lead back and forth. And, you know, I honestly thought Kyle Larson might get his first win of the season there at Dover.
Right.
You know, that kind of gets exciting. You know, like if you have a, like a, you know, an interest or, you know, something like that happens, but the majority of the race was kind of boring. That's why, you know, we got up, we left our seats and we found John and hung out with John for a while,
mm-hmm.
you know, because it kind of, you get to the middle of that race and it's like, okay, time to go hit the concession stands, time to go do something, go drink, I don't know.
Yeah,
you know, almost like the seventh inning stretch kind of deal. Yeah.
That's a great observation, though, about how the how television does not capture. Well, it doesn't capture a lot of tracks, but it doesn't capture Dover in particular. I've got pictures from 5 years ago when I was there at Dover in my Facebook albums. And from our perspective, I was taking pictures from our perspective of the cars going by. Now, we were kind of on the turn. I couldn't believe. Now, I had seen Dover, you know, on television before, but I, you know, this was my first time in person. I couldn't believe that those cars were freaking sideways driving the turn. I mean, you're looking down and literally the cars are sideways. I mean, it was wild. It was wild to me. But all right, Harvick won it last week, so we've got two that we know are moving on to the second round. You got Martin Truex Jr., you got Kevin Harvick. We've got four that are kind of on the bubble. Chris Buescher, Tony Stewart, Austin Dillon, Jamie McMurray. 13, they're your 13 through 16, which if all things remain the same, and those were exactly the standings at the conclusion of today's Dover race, those are the four that would be eliminated. All right. It puts a lot of pressure on them, obviously, guys, but the interesting thing about this one is that the guys up at the top, even if they don't have a win, the Brad Keselowskis, the Kyle Busches, the Matt Kenseths, there's no pressure really on them, is there? I guess unless they were to wreck out or something like that, right?
Yeah, you're in the area there. They're pretty secure that they're going to move on. They don't want to put themselves in a position though where they have to worry about not making it. So in other words, you know, I don't know if they drive defensively, but I bet they would try to avoid a situation. For example, if say somebody was trying to make a point and go almost three wide into a turn, something you know that's not going to work at Dover. I could see that, avoiding that, but just try to run a good safe race. I think some of those guys who are on the cut line, Stewart and Jamie McMurray in particular, run really well at this track. And Austin Dillon, this is kind of like a home track for his Dow sponsorship. So, you know, he's had, you know, decent runs here before. So, you know, I three of those four, I could clearly see having a chance to improve. I mean, I'm not going to, you know, go out. I can't call for sure that they're going to, but I would think we could see some movement. And mm-hmm. somebody in the top 12 will more than likely have an issue of some sort, be it a tire problem, be it, you know, an accident, you know, maybe engine failure towards the end, you know, any of that's possible.
Yeah,
so
because
I think we will see some movement within the cut. Do I think,
you know,
somebody could win and guarantee themselves? Possibly.
You know, I'm bringing up the four that could potentially be cut out of there, just as the standings sit right now. But, you know, somebody, some of the other drivers that are kind of on the bubble, I guess what you would have to say is they're kind of on the bubble. They're not in the bubble. The four that I mentioned would be kind of in the bubble. McMurray, Dillon, Stewart, Buescher, they're in the bubble. You got others that are kind of on the bubble, as you point out, Brandon, that could very easily be pulled into the bubble. You know, Carl Edwards, who's in 10th spot, Kurt Busch in 11th, Kyle Larson in 12th. You know, these guys, if they don't have a good race today, a finishing race today where they can place fairly well, they could find themselves getting sucked in there. And as you point out, you know, the worst nightmare for, say, somebody like a Kyle Larson would be, you know, an early engine problem, you know, getting knocked out of the race early, you know, within the first 50 laps or something like that. That would be the worst nightmare.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is going to be restarts. Restarts at this track get, you know, tedious at times, you know, and it doesn't take very long until they catch the back of the pack. So, you know, people don't get very patient with each other, and restarts tend to get a little hairy. So I would think that's the time that these chase contenders are going to have to really watch it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, the thing about this race and being at Dover is, you know, Martin Truex Jr. and Kevin Harvick are like that internet meme with Kermit sitting there drinking the Nesty, you know, where,
yep, exactly.
You know, they've got no cares whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? They're locked. They're going on in the next round. But everybody from spot 3 through the end, they all have to be pretty much worried. And obviously the bottom 4 are probably proverbially, you know, pooping themselves. Because really, any one of them has a bad race and they're going home. Well, at least they're out of the chase. You know, they still got the rest of the races to run. But, you know, you could have something as simple as a engine blow or, you know, something like that. Now, on the positive side is Dover's not an aerodynamic track, per se. So, you know, you can, you know, maybe ding your car up a little bit, and it's not going to really hurt you too bad.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, a little beating and banging ain't gonna ruin your day. I mean, we've seen people out there running with, you know, the whole front clip on their car gone, you know, basically just looking at, you know, it looks like the Batmobile going by, you know, basically it's just an engine with two big fat tires.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know? I mean, they're not being really competitive, but, you know, they're at least out there running. So that's a good sign. You know, as long as you can keep yourself from getting terribly, you know, messed up where you've got a catastrophic failure, you know, you still got a decent shot.
Well, interestingly, though, you're saying everybody from 3 down, though, really has to be kind of on edge a little bit.
Absolutely. Because if they, I mean, you know. I don't have the standings up, but who's sitting in third? You know, because they don't have a win.
Kyle Busch.
You know, Kyle Busch doesn't have a win. He's not guaranteed to move on. You know, you've only had 2 races to accumulate. I mean, you have your win bonus and then whatever points you've scored the past 2 races. You know what I mean? You blow a motor early in the race, and, you know, you DNF and you're, you know, 39th.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to kill you. I don't care if you're Kyle Busch or not. You know what I mean? Kyle Busch blows a motor early in the race and he finishes 39th or 40th. Yeah. That's the end of his chase.
Yep.
So, you know, I'm sorry. Yeah. If it's me, if I'm not Martin Truex Jr. or I'm Kevin Harvick, I'm worried. You know, I'm going to be trying to run a clean. I mean, yes, I'm going to try to win and secure myself in, but I'm not going to take any, you know, risks per se to, you know, try and win the race if I'm in a good spot. It's those guys that are those bottom 4 that are looking at being eliminated where they might throw the dice and they might try do stuff because, you know, literally they're going to get, you know, they're out if they don't, you know, they don't finish within the top 12. So, you know, they're going to, they might throw, you know, you might see them gambling more. They might be a little riskier. You know, you might see them be a little bit more aggressive on the track towards the end of the race, you know. So it's going to be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously, if you're a non-chaser, there's probably little weight on your shoulders either.
Well,
I mean, you're going to go out there. You're going to go out there and run your race and try to win.
Yeah,
but you know, it's not like you're, you know, it's not like you're getting eliminated or, you know, you're just out there trying to steal a win from somebody.
Yeah, and that kind of leads me to a question I want to throw out there in a second about, you know, the potentiality of us seeing a non-chaser win at some point, which it always exists there, obviously. But of the four that are right now, as I describe it, in the bubble, McMurray, Dillon, Stewart, which one do you think would have the best chance of getting above the cut line? McMurray, perhaps, maybe because he does have a – I think he has a win here at Dover. He has one win here at Dover in the past. Would you give the odds perhaps to McMurray, Brandon?
No, I think, believe it or not, I'm going to go – I would go with Tony Stewart because I know he runs well at this track. And he's the – I believe he's what? He's the first one below the line, correct?
He's actually in 15th.
Okay, he's in 15th.
No, yeah, he's just the bottom.
He's just above Buescher.
Hey, but hey, a win doesn't matter. He could be 15th with a win and
but,
boom.
Yeah, I mean, that's a little bit deceiving when I say he's just above Buescher. He's 19 points in front of Buescher. Buescher is
how far away from the cut line is he, just out of curiosity?
Points wise, he's only 9 points out of the cut.
Yeah, okay. He of all the guys below, I would give Tony Stewart your best chance of making it, only because he knows how to finish this race, and that's a lot. That goes a long way here. We could have one or two or maybe even team not even finish this race. We've seen wrecks that take 2, 3, 4 cars out at a time, and you know we'll see a couple, several.
Yeah, there's not a lot of real estate on this track.
No. You don't spin usually without hitting.
You know, and it's one of those, you know, they call self-cleaning tracks. Because it's so steep, you know, the wrecks always wind up at the bottom.
Once
you get everybody collected up, you know, everybody just, you know, kind of rolls down to the bottom. And that,
well, you know,
it's interesting,
Brandon, you bring up Tony Stewart, because Tony Stewart is somebody I was going to bring up here today anyhow. Obviously, it being his, you know, his exit tour, and this being one of the, you know, we're in the chase now, and he only has a handful of races remaining, and he's in the chase and potentially could get eliminated from the chase today. Obviously, a lot of attention placed on him, the media asking him a lot of questions. I found some of his comments rather interesting, and I wanted to get everybody's kind of a take on it. He indicated the other day, quote, unquote, we've just got to go and do the best we can this weekend, and whatever happens, happens. You hope when it's over, you did your job. If we stick to our guns and do our job right, hopefully we can get the win. If we don't, hopefully we were in a scenario where we gained enough points to get to the next round. But if not, it's over. It doesn't sound like a guy who's exactly feeling a lot of pressure. Doesn't sound like a guy who is exactly antsy to make the move to the next round. Am I misreading it, or is he just maybe perhaps being, hey, you know, look, I only got a couple of weeks left. It is what it is. Maybe he's just being, you know, I don't know, pragmatic. What do you take from it? I kind of read it, and I'm thinking to myself, that sounds like a Tony Stewart who's already given up.
No, I think it's talking to the media. You can't, I know, you know, he's probably got to be worrying just a little bit. He can't be, he's not that cavalier about it. You know, he might be saying that to the media and stuff, but, you know, is, you know, open as Tony is to telling it like it is. He's got to be just a little bit nervous. You know what I mean? About going into this and the, you know, the possibility of, you know, missing out on the chase. I mean, I have no doubts he's ready for retirement and he can't wait for Homestead. But for, you know, I think he's just telling the media a little bit about what, you know, what he wants them to think. But he's nervous a little bit. You got to be.
I also kind of get the sense, too, that he might very well be very, very disappointed with the season that he's had. Look, it's not been a great season for himself.
It's not been a good couple of years.
Well, yeah, but in particular this season. I mean, obviously, it's not been a good couple of years. But Kevin Harvick, I mean, continues to do fairly well, represents Stuart Haas well. Kurt Busch, I think, has done okay this year. Not quite as well, perhaps, maybe, as we saw last year. But Tony himself, been a rough, rough year for him, performance-wise. And, you know, you wonder, too, whether it's all just kind of coming together and he's just like, you know, hey, I'm almost out of here. In another article, you know, he made the point, and I brought this one up before, too, as well. I'm just looking for the exact quote he had here. He spoke out about NASCAR again this past week to the media, where basically he said, I've had my fill of fighting the fight versus NASCAR. And so, you know, you get the sense that, you know, all of that coming together, plus, you know, perhaps maybe he's looking at it going, boy, our team just really hasn't, you know, we've underperformed from where I kind of anticipated or thought we were going to be. I don't know. Brandon, any thoughts on Tony Stewart's comments?
Yeah, you might be right. He may be resigning himself a little to it. As far as the team underperforming, I think they expected it a little this year when they made the announcement they were jumping to Ford. You're right there, you know, you're not going to get the best Chevrolet equipment and support. You know what I mean? I mean, you've already made your bid for the future. I think that's why we haven't seen any dominance out of, like, Harvick or Kurt Busch this year. I mean, yeah, they both run well at times and won races. And, you know, there's certain tracks like Phoenix where it's always going to be, you know, Harvick's always going to do well. But that's probably trickling down more to, you know, Tony and Danica's team, you know, where the best of the best is going to the other two. You know, they're the two that are driving the team right now, and they know it. Mm-hmm. So I kind of have a feeling that that's just the way it's rolling right now.
Well, and we've seen other driver team owners not do as well as their stable.
Right.
You know, because I think there's the dynamic of being a team owner that distracts you and takes away from your performance, whether it's you trying not to slight your other team members, you know, and hogging all, you know, pulling a LeBron James and hogging all the spotlight, or, you know, just the, you know, the day-to-day operations of managing a team versus, you know, being an owner versus just being a, you know, a driver. So, you know, and Tony's had a couple rough years with all of the other stuff. So I think, you know, that's why he kind of called it this year and said, this is going to be my last year. But also you have the Toyota effect this year. I mean, you know, Toyota's just been so dominant. And, you know, which also leads to the possibility of, you know, could Toyota be so dominant this year because Tony, you know, Stuart Haas is going to Ford, you know, because could that potentially be affecting Hendrick? Is that why we're not seeing the Hendricks dominance that we've normally seen. Obviously, we know Junior's, you know, Junior's had his health issues and, you know, he's not in his car, you know, and then obviously you've got Austin, or not, you know, you've got
Chase Elliott.
Kept wanting to say Austin Dillon, but, you know, Jeff's not there anymore. So you got, you know, you got Chase Elliott in the 24, but I'm just wondering if the fact that they're not sharing information with Stuart Haas, you know, they've kind of, you know, said, okay, look, you guys are going to Ford, so we're not going to be as open with you as we have. I wonder if that's potentially impacting Hendrick or the Chevys in general. You know, and that's part of that Toyota effect that we've seen where Toyota has been so dominant.
It's an interesting kind of trickle down possibility. Interesting. I don't know. I'm going to be curious to see whether, in fact, Tony can get himself above the cut line today. I'm going to be really curious to see.
See what his demeanor is during the race. Because the past two or three races, he's gotten a little edgy with people. You know, him and Newman had a brush up. Him and Brent Scott have had a brush up. Him going after these guys on the track doesn't tell me, you know, he might say to the media that, hey, you know, here's my three options and I'm copacetic with whatever one of those three comes out. You know, I'm just happy to, you know, happy to be kind of thing. But yet he gets on the track and he's, you know, getting, you know, a little edgy with people, you know? So I
would
think
indicate,
there's...
Would indicate that, yeah, in fact, that his sense is the opposite. You know,
yeah,
he still,
well,
has the fight. Yeah.
Or it might be like he was alluding to in his other comments about fighting with NASCAR. That might be it. He's copacetic with what happens. He's just ticked off, you know. He just wants to get away from these numbskulls like Newman that are, you know, getting all uppity and in his face.
Yeah. Yep. Well, it'll be interesting. I actually think that it's probably the best thing in the world for him to walk away now at this point and to just concentrate on being the, as we say, owner. You know, not having to do the double duty sort of thing probably will make that team. Probably will make that team better. That's just my guess on it.
If you consider bringing Clint Bowyer in as your replacement and improvement.
Well, you know, I know you're not. I know.
I need to find a Clint Bowyer drop.
Let's see. Let's see what the new equipment brings to the team too. I mean, that could be very, very interesting. You know, we talked a little bit here about the four in the bubble. I guess it's a kind of a foregone conclusion that really nobody's expecting Chris Buescher to get above the line, which is kind of a shame. I'm going to be honest with you, because it was a good Cinderella story while it lasted. I found myself rooting for him a little bit. A little bit surprised, I got to be honest, guys, that it didn't feel like they made a bigger effort. Yes, no, or I don't know.
Well, how much of an effort could he make in this race? I mean, I don't think we had any qualifying. Did they even have any practice?
Well, no, but I mean overall. I mean, as I point out, he's down there in 16th, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But it's not like he's really even close to Tony Stewart. As I pointed out, Tony's got 19 points ahead of him.
Well, they are a low-funded team that's affiliated with Roush Fenway, and Roush Fenway ain't the greatest team right now. I mean, they know they have a lot of work to do. And, you know, it'd be different if he was, let's just say he was getting, say Ford went to Penske and said, hey, Penske, you know, hook this team up for the rest of the way. That might have been a little better. You know, I don't know. I think it's just a matter of circumstance. I mean, you can only get, you know, throwing dollars and giving better equipment only takes you so far. doesn't make all your, you know, your tire changes faster, your driver better. You know, it doesn't do all that. You know what I mean? You can't turn a low budget team into a, you know, contender, you know, like a, you know, like a JGR just because they want to race at Pocono. There's not that many tire changes, Jackman, you know, everything, the whole nine yards you have to look at it.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of it.
Does his presence in the chase help them out in the off season?
Help who out?
The team. Or will it be forgotten?
No, it'll probably help them with sponsor negotiations, stuff like that. Anytime you win a race and get exposure, it's got to help. Now, it's not going to help them get a $4 or $5 million deal, you know, but it's going to help them close those single race deals, those couple hundred thousand deals that get them to the track. That's what it'll help with, because that's when somebody will say, well, yeah, you know what? You're right. You won a race last year. I'll go with you over this other backmarker who never went. You know?
Mm-hmm.
I think that could help.
Yeah. I'm just wondering whether it gets forgotten, you know? It's kind of like, that kind of business, it's like anything else. I mean, you know, what have you done lately? And, you're reminding me you made the chase, but you were knocked out of it within the first cut. And I don't know. All right. Interesting. Well, we'll see.
From my perspective, you know, it's a win for the chase model, because you've got one of these small teams that actually is in the chase. You know what I mean? You know, honestly, nobody expects Chris Buescher to go far in the chase. But just the fact that, you know, you've got a small team that became, you know, was eligible for the chase and got in is a win, I think. You know, and then, you know, it will help them some with trying to secure some additional funding. You know, might help them get some, you know, attention from Ford and that. You know, it's not, you know, like Brand said, yeah, it won't turn them into JGR overnight, but, you know, it might give them at least some positive momentum so that they can be like a furniture row.
Mm-hmm.
Or is it front row? I always make them two F rows
up. You're thinking furniture with Truex.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, furniture row.
The front row and furniture row. Really, guys? This is what you guys do? Come on. Come on with something else. There's too many rows that begin with F.
Oh, my gosh.
But, you know.
What's your problem? Dyslexia is my department.
It's
just,
just
too many
front
things sound
furniture.
The same.
Yeah, yeah, front row, furniture row. Yeah. I can't tell you who drives for either one.
Sure you can.
I guarantee I'd probably switch them around.
Yeah, I think you probably would, because you've done it many, many times. All right. We heard from Dale Jr. This week. Sounded actually pretty positive. Apparently he's doing some racing simulating, guys.
He's playing NASCAR Heat Evolution?
Yeah.
On Xbox and PS4.
I was going to say either that. Well, is he racing against Joey Logano as they do in the one commercial? No, but I thought that was actually pretty positive, you know, because that's one of the things we had talked about numerous times here. The fact that, you know, he had pointed out, you know, the problem he was having was focusing on a point in front of him. And, you know, Brandon, you had brought it up, but that's a very, very dangerous thing to have be a disability as a, you know, as a motorsports driver, you know, somebody who's behind the wheel of a car potentially doing, you know, upwards of 200 miles an hour. Very, very dangerous situation. So with the simulation sort of thing going on, I mean, at least that is a positive to that extent, right?
Yes, without a doubt. You got to get that part fixed. You can't go into the track and not be able to focus on the point. You know, you can't be dizzy. You just can't do that. You can't do that at all.
Yeah.
It's a good thing. I mean, simulating, you know, I don't know. Did they say what kind of simulating other than playing video games? Is that what he's doing?
Actually, aren't they the ones where you're kind of in a when they're doing the simulating, aren't they the ones where you're actually in the kind of compartment that's like being in a, those are the simulators I think that they're using. It's not as simple as just necessarily playing a video game per se, right? I mean, they're actually putting you into kind of a cockpit sort of thing. And you've got the panoramic going on around you of, right? I mean, isn't that what I could have sworn that's what this sort of thing was, sort of setup was. I'm actually trying to look through this article and see where, excuse me. Yeah, I'm trying to look through this and see if I can come up with it real quick, where the line was about exactly what the, environment was. But apparently he was he down at Dover? I think he was down at Dover too as well. He was down with the Hendrick teams.
So he was actually at the track?
Yeah, he was.
That's good.
I don't see where they go into an explanation. I'm scanning real quick. I don't see in the one article that I had sent over where they went into any real explanation as to what the simulation was, but like I said, I think that's a positive because, you know, we had left it a couple of weeks ago where it was announced that he wasn't going to be racing at all through the chase. I think all of us were kind of in agreement that that was probably the best thing to have happen once it was realized that, you know, he wasn't going to make the chase. So I think that's a real positive. Glad to hear it.
I think you're going to see him come back with a vengeance next year. I don't think any of this, you know, speculation of retirement, I don't think any of that was real, to be honest. I think he legitimate has an issue and they need to fix it. And once they're done, they will. And I think he'll be back next year. I don't think he has any plans on retiring anytime soon. I would say, you know, the one thing I know he wants, he won a championship at the Xfinity level. Actually, I believe he won two. He'd like to win a championship at this level just to prove that, you know, it's not just his name that got him there. You know what I mean? I think he really wants to finish, you know, with a Sprint Cup championship before he's done. I think that's his sole motivation left in racing. Yes, he may be kind of like Tony Stewart, where he gets a little tired of the politics and BS around NASCAR. And, you know, I can imagine, I don't know what they have to deal with, but it's got to be awful. So, you know, I imagine everybody gets to that point. Clearly, you know, he has the infrastructure in place to be an owner, you know, into the future. I mean, they have probably one of the best Xfinity teams out there, you know, with Junior Motorsports, that's essentially a satellite of Hendrick. So, you know, I think they're going the right places. You know what I mean?
Yep.
For him.
Yep, absolutely. All right. I actually had this on the agenda for our last week, but Sidekick, I got to get your reaction. I got to be honest with you. When I read this, I was all smiles and kind of giggling and a little bit giddy. Patricia Driscoll, former girlfriend of NASCAR driver Kurt Busch, was charged last week with stealing from the military charity that she led. Court documents indicated that she may have misappropriated as much as $600,000 She was indicted on seven federal charges, two counts each of wire fraud, mail fraud, tax evasion, and one count of attempts to interfere with the administration of the IRS. She also faces a first-degree fraud charge under District of Columbia. I got to be honest, you know, you see the old memes about the old lady driving the karma bus? that karma bus just hit her flat in the face, didn't it? Holy smokes. This is incredible. I mean, like I said, when I read this, I was a little bit giddy. Certainly laughing hysterically. But isn't that isn't that something else? Isn't that ironic? You know, as much as it would kind of be wrong, I would love to be a reporter and just ask Kurt. Hey, Kurt, what do you think of what do you think there, psychic?
I really I don't have anything PC to say for the show.
Nothing PC.
This woman, and I use that term very loosely.
Well, she has accused of being a loose woman, if you know what I mean.
That's what I'm saying. There's nothing that I can say. There really is. It's like Mama used to say, you ain't got nothing good to say. Don't say anything at all. This two-bit hoback. No.
Yeah, but you know, I got to say, I mean, you know, that's why I say.
Couldn't happen to a nicer person.
Exactly. I just leave it square at, you know, the whole karma thing.
Yeah. Kurt Busch sits four races due to some BS allegation by this, you know, attention-seeking moron who's just trying. It's no wonder she was a single mom.
And she's out there ripping off, you know, not just any charity, but this charity that's based around support of the
military. Veterans.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, how much bigger of a scumbag could you possibly be? You know, misappropriating
and
close to $600,000. That's, wow.
Well, and the funny thing about that whole case was she was using her working with that charity.
Yep, as her leverage.
Defense.
Exactly.
You know, oh, look at me. Look at me. Look at all I do. I'm squeaky clean. Look at that bad boy, Kurt Busch. He's a bad boy. He's got anger management issues. He's got, there's another one you pulled over our eyes.
This one's got kleptomania issues.
Yeah.
Oh, honest to God, I just, you know, I'm telling you, that's why, you know, it would absolutely be the wrong thing to do. But boy, wouldn't it be funny to just get Kurt's off the record sort of reaction to this? Oh, wow.
Oh, he's in his holler doing his happy dance. Come on now.
I wanted to get reactions, like, because God knows we spent enough time talking about her and that whole situation here on the air. I mean, it was just.
I guess it's just proof that, you know, she is a trained assassin because she assassinated her career.
What she did,
she's not going to be doing nothing now.
What she did to Kurt Busch, I thought, you know, in the end, absolutely horrific, absolutely so horrible, just incredible.
Yeah, it couldn't have happened to a nicer person.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Show your true colors, and it kind of vindicates Kurt a little too. You know?
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. As Psychic just pointed out, I mean, you know, what's actually pretty, what goes even further to the disdainfulness of the whole thing is the fact that she used that very nonprofit, that very charity, she used that almost as her leverage in the whole issue. That's what's even more almost disdainful about it. She used it in so many different ways, it wasn't even funny. Think about it. She used it for her own gain. She used it for her own personal gain. You know, if we're misappropriating up to $600,000, you know, she used it for her own reputation. I mean, she just completely, you know, it's, anyhow, you know, you hope somebody like that just absolutely gets, she'll never actually go to jail. She'll just probably be seriously, seriously fined and probably held to make some sort of retribution of some nature. We'll see.
Oh, I hope she gets jail time.
I know it would be, that's exactly what she should get, but, all right, listen, we're as I pointed out, we're heading to Dover. Now, no qualifying. Guys,
speaking
I got to tell
Dover,
you right now, I you know, I hate this rule where we're going with qualifying based on standings. I hate it. I think it is stupid. Why can't we use practice times? Use standings as a third measure. Use that if you can't get practice in or something to that effect, then go to the standings.
We're talking about practice.
Well, yes, we are. I can't stand this. This is the qualifying for today is exactly like the standings. Keselowski at the top, Martin Truex, Kyle Busch, Kenseth, Joey
Logano.
You just
don't like it because there's a Ford on the pole.
No, absolutely not. That has absolutely nothing
to
do with it.
It's not a
Toyota. I have absolutely no problem with it because Martin Truex will take over the lead. But the I think this is a dumb way to go about it. This was one of the recent changes I think they put into effect right before the chase, right? That this was what they were, because didn't they use practice time before?
Yeah, this was a recent change. Yeah, practice time was the way they would set lineups. And I agree with you. I like that a little better because what it does is it kind of puts the field in an order that makes sense. This way, you know, if you've got somebody up at the front who's not running real good here, they're a problem at the start. I just never really understood why they didn't go with – I like the practice idea. I don't know why they switched it, to be honest with you. I think when it happened, it had something to do with the charter system and guaranteeing some of the lower guys and some of the chase guys once they're in the chase. If they don't have a charter, you know, blah, 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 whatever. Go back the other way. I don't think it really matters right now. You know, I don't. You're trying to fix a problem that's not a problem. We don't have too many cars.
Exactly.
Not the track. We don't have 45 or 50 cars showing up for 40 starting spots. We got 40 starting showing up for 40 usually, or maybe one going home at most. So, you know, problem, why fix it? But whatever.
Yeah, and you know, listen, with all due respect, and I hate to constantly bring them up, but I have to do this at least once a show. For the conspiracy theorists out there, they could easily read into this that this was NASCAR's way of giving benefit to all the chasers. Because, I mean, look at it. That's exactly what it is. It's all the chase drivers.
Well, hello. It's the chase. Of course you should be giving preference to the chaser.
Oh, come on now. Come on, Sidekick. You don't believe that.
Absolutely I do.
No, you don't. That's
yeah.
how. Well, then you know what? Just shorten the field. Seriously. It cut the field in half. Instead of making it 40, make it 20. That's ridiculous.
I totally agree with the policy of, hey, we're going to this track. Rain washed out qualifying. So we're going to go up based on points. So basically you're putting all the chasers at the front of the field. I totally agree with that.
I couldn't disagree with it more. I think
you know,
you're
just like, you know, just like the policy of, you know, when you're racing in the race, you know, if you're a non-chaser, get out of the way of the chaser.
Particularly for a cut race like today. And a race like and at a track like Dover, which, as Brandon points out, and we've all pointed out, this is kind of a follow the leader sort of track. To me, this is rigging the outcome, in my opinion. I mean, seriously, I really and see, that's where I, you know, that's why I'm a little bit surprised, Psychic, that you would say, oh yeah, yeah, I'm all in favor of giving them a little extra leg up. Hey, if part of the reason behind having a 10 race playoff is to prove that you're the best of the entire lot, well, then you should have to, you know, hey, if you have to come from 20th, if you have to come from 25th, then that's what you should have to do.
Yeah, but see, here's
to me, it's like rigging it.
I mean, I don't know if it's just, you know, if this is, you know, if it's just me or it's other fans. But once the chase starts, I only care about the chasers. I care less where anybody else in the field's running. I don't care about who finishes where or any of that stuff.
Well, then you'd be okay with cutting the field. Then you'd be okay with cutting the field to 20.
No, because I think you still need a full field. You're hurting teams. As far, you know, by not letting them at least be there.
What do you think this is doing? Is it hurting a team?
Well, I mean, you know, okay. You know, one argument you could make is, you know, by setting it up like this, by points, you're potentially putting Chris Buescher in 16th spot.
Right.
He's
Which
on
I
a small team, not really funded.
Right.
Okay. What are the chances that he's going to have he's going to be running in a top 16 car at the start of that race versus him not running in a top 16 car and just getting in the way of everybody else and potentially causing more wrecks.
Good job. Good job. You've gone straight to the anomaly. Let's go to the anomaly and point that one out as a good reason for why we should use this setup.
Well,
we just got them pointing out. You know, Chris Buescher is Chris Buescher, and it was a nice little Cinderella story, as I pointed out. But the bottom line is, go ahead. I'll dare another year. Simulate the next 5 years in a row. I'll bet you don't get a Chris Buescher in the chase again.
You may not. You know, that's why I say it's, you know, I think it's a win for them, and I think it's a win for the chase system.
Oh, I agree there. But after that, you don't get any more. You don't get any more handouts.
Well, you know, you have to be a realist. And while I don't want to knock him because he got a win, you know, we're talking about a guy that was trying to stay within the top 30 in points so he could be in the chase.
Right. And good job for him that he did.
You know, and, you know, he was able to maintain that top 30 spot. I mean, we've seen it with Kyle Busch. We've seen it with Tony Stewart. You got to get a win, and you got to get in the top 30. You know, after they've sat out for whatever number of races in a season. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's always been the rule. But, you know, they've come out. You know, Kyle Busch came out and ripped off, what, 5-6 wins in a row or something ridiculous. Yeah, we saw Tony Stewart able to get back into the top 30 and get a win. You know, we're not going to see that with Chris Buescher. You know what I mean? You know, the guy is perennially a 30th place finisher, probably. You know, and week to week he's in and he's out, win and out, in and out, you know. So, you know, setting up stuff like that, you know, hampers the race. You know, if this was a non-chase race, we wouldn't have that problem because you would have all the good guys at the front of the pack, and you know, it would be set truly by points. You know what I mean? So you'd have all the better teams at the front and all the bad teams at the back. So the odds are of having somebody towards the front of the pack with a really bad car, you know, potentially, you know, causing issues in the race is less likely. It's just when you get now to the chase, you know, now you've got, you know, now you potentially have some people that are sitting up there that may, you know, may not be, you know, able to keep up. And that's not to say that you know, we've seen, you know, Kyle Busch in ill handling cars. We've seen all the top tier guys in bad handling cars and can't get out of their own damn way and causing their own issues because they can't get out of the damn way. You know, who was it? Was it Martin Truex that didn't have that only had one gear in his car and he was towards the front of the pack, and every time they restarted, you know, he couldn't go anywhere until he got up to speed for the gear. And, yep, you know, and everybody was piling up behind him. And there was that big call for, look, if you can't get going off a restart, you shouldn't be up that hot. You know, you need to take your ass to the back of the pack. You know what I mean? And stop trying to maintain your position in the race because it's close to the end and you're just trying to get a better finish. And meanwhile, everybody's wrecking behind you because you can't get out of your own damn way. You know? As I go off onto some weird other plane of existence.
Well, while we're doing that, let's congratulate Daniel Suarez on winning the Xfinity race in Dover today for Joe Gibbs Racing.
Oh, yay.
But, yes, we have a race winner already.
Is Suarez in there, Chase, over there?
Yes, he is. Him and Elliot Sadler have both won a race in this segment. I don't know if this is a cut race or if the next one is a cut race. Theirs is an abbreviated chase. I think they only started with eight, and I don't know if they have as many cuts. I'm not quite sure how they do it. I think they only cut two twice.
Did they run at New Hampshire last week?
No.
Yeah,
I
right, exactly.
So.
Yeah, right. So next week might actually
They ran Kentucky, I think they were.
Okay, all right.
They were someplace else. Just like yesterday,
right.
I think the truck series was in Las Vegas.
Right, right.
So, you know, sometimes they break away, especially towards the end of the year. But I think the next few, they're together. So we have a winner.
All right, well, there you go. There's an update there on the Xfinity race. But getting back to this 2 p.m. Sprint Cup race, you know. All right, well, I like when we get a divergence of opinion here. I'm sorry, I don't like this format for qualifying when you can't actually get qualifying in. But Sidekick's okay with it. Give the chasers, an unfair advantage. That's fine. We'll see how that goes today. Without necessarily getting into picks per se, and knowing what we know about Dover, how well, you know, what do we think? I mean, who's going to dominate this thing today? Any
How
ideas?
Can we get into it without giving away our pick? Come on.
Well, easy. I'm expecting to see Kyle Larson.
How about Jimmy Johnson? I mean, Jimmy Johnson, here's a guy who obviously has been struggling. There were reports out this past week. Johnson said that he thinks the car and the team are better together than they have been all season long, that they're ready to make their run. We haven't seen how many. I mean, his number of wins is way down this year. What? How many did he have? Two?
Yep.
Yeah. Only two, and they were the only Hendrick wins.
Exactly. And, now he's coming out of the eighth spot thanks to thanks to the qualifying. I mean, could you see somebody like a – I mean, Johnson runs – he runs the best year of anybody. He's got 10 wins here at Dover. I mean, that's – there's nobody that's even coming close to that. The nearest you got after that is Kansas Stewart and Hello Newman with three wins.
Well, I think you're going to see a lot of those Gibbs cars up front. I think this is going to be a Gibbs show. I think you're going to see 18, 78, 20 runs 20. Good here. 11 runs good here. Carl, not so much. Carl's not so good here, but, you know, even he, you'll probably see him up here too.
Yeah,
so
and then,
I think you're
gonna like
see
I
him.
Said, I think you'll see Larson up there, and I think you'll probably see the two Penske's up there for a little while.
Yeah, you may even see Harvick, you know, flash around in the top five, but I don't think he's going to do anything. I think you have a better shot at seeing the Penske's fight with the Gibbs cars than you do anything else for this race. Because Keselowski and Logano have both won here, I believe.
Yeah.
And, you know, Keselowski's run well consistently. So I think you could see a lot of Truex, a lot of Kyle Busch, Keselowski, maybe Logano. You know, that's what you're going to see at the front.
I think you're going to see Kenseth up there more than Kyle Busch.
You think?
Yeah.
I think Kyle has I don't know, he's kind of been quiet lately. I think it's time for him to flex a little muscle.
Oh, he's definitely due.
Yeah, and he's run pretty well at Dover over the years. You know, so I'm kind of looking. Let's say again, I didn't want to give away picks, but
no. Kyle's got two wins here. But I'll tell you something right now. Just based on his history, it would seem to me that if there's somebody that really, really needs to take that step forward, it's Johnson. Jimmy Johnson's got to. He's got to start showing.
I don't think Hendrick and Chevy are destined to win this year. I think it's just, it is what it is. Their bed's been made. I think, you know, the change at Stuart Haas probably affected everybody, you know, in their sharing, and they're just not what they were. So they're going to have to deal with it moving forward. We'll see next year if there's a new alliance with Hendrick, with somebody else, you know, maybe the Chip Ganassi guys, you know, they form a tighter alliance. I know they're getting engines from Hendrick. Maybe they'll ramp up to an engineering support kind of deal. I don't know. I don't think you're going to see Childress do it because Childress kind of likes to do his own thing. So,
yeah. Well, Chevy's going to have to do something.
Yeah, Chevy has to close rank.
I mean, you know, just the fact that they lost Stuart Haas to Ford means that they need to do something. That should be a wake-up call for Chevy.
Yeah, I think what they need to do is create a greater communication between the Chevy teams. And I don't know if Hendrick and Childress could form some kind of alliance, or, you know, I think it's more likely to see a Chip Ganassi alliance with Hendrick. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see what they come up with. Chevrolet is going to drive it a lot. You know, Chevrolet can kind of force the issue, I believe. I think we're seeing that more with the manufacturers. Toyota kind of started it by taking over all the engines themselves. You know, Ford's now doing it, as you can see between there is a, you know, they all use the same engines in Ford. And I think
it's Ralph Yates engines,
yeah,
but
right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're, make no mistake about it. They're working directly with Ford on that. Whereas,
yep.
You know, I think it's Toyota directly that gives the engines to the Toyota teams.
Well, they
don't give
anything. They're leased.
Well,
they pay
well,
for it.
I mean, yeah.
I think that's the key here is, and Toyota's done it by bringing their teams together and sharing more. And Ford's forcing the issue now with the Stuart Haas and Penske are going to be working together. And I think that's going to bring Ralph Fenway Racing into it a little more. So Chevy's going to have to do something. They're going to have to close ranks. They can't be, you know, the only one not doing it. It's not going to work. And I think you're seeing that this year with the drop off in Chevy wins.
Interesting. All right. Well,
I think they need to have more collaboration.
Like I said, we haven't gotten to the picks yet. We'll do that here momentarily. But I didn't pick Jimmy Johnson. I didn't pick Jimmy Johnson, but I'll be honest with you. I wouldn't mind seeing Johnson do really, really well. That's just, believe it or not. Yes, I did say that. All right. Let's do this real quick in a couple of minutes that we've got here available. We've got NHRA just up the road in Reading at Maple Grove. And we haven't done any kind of updating since the countdown there started. So I thought I'd just run through it real quick and we take a look at it. We're halfway through. This will be the third of six events in their countdown to championships. And we're hard to believe, but you know, two out of six of them already done. Standings at this point right now. Pro stock. Hey, Brandon, you want to take any guesses?
Honestly, I did not see last week, so I honestly don't know where.
It's pro stock. Who do you think is leading all right now in the
countdown? Jason Lyon or Anderson? Lyon
you
or
got
Anderson?
It. How about Jason Lyon and Greg Anderson, one and two? Drew Skillman, 8. Jed Coughlin, 9. Erica Enders, 10. It's been that kind of season. Talking about dominance. Jason Lyon and Greg Anderson, just sick. Funny car. Well, it's DSR on parade up at the top. Ron Capps, Tommy Johnson, Jack Beckman, 1, 2, 3. John Force comes in there at 4. Still got plenty of time. We got 4 events. Matt Hagen coming in at 6. Robert Height, 7. Courtney Force, 8. And in top fuel, Antron Brown sitting up at the top. My gosh, I'm going to tell you something. If he were to win it, I think that would be his third. I think that would be his third top fuel championship if he wins it. Antron Brown sitting up there at number 1. Tony Schumacher, number 3. How about that? Tony had a rough year, but sitting at number 3. Brittany Forrest coming in at number 5. And so at Maple Grove today, pro stock ladder, number 1, you got Vincent Nobile. Jason Lyon, of course, coming in at number 2. How about Greg Anderson at number 3? I don't think we need to even go any further. Honest to God, I just don't see anything. Nobody's going to beat those two. Funny car, Matt Hagen's got the number 1 spot. Tommy Johnson Jr.'s got the number 2 spot. Del Worsham, number 3. Ron Capps, number 4. Where are our Force drivers? Courtney's in 8. Robert Heights in 5. And I'm just looking at this. Where the heck is John? John is all the way down at 14th at Maple Grove. Over in top fuel, Leah Pritchett's got the number 1 spot today at Maple Grove. Number 1, Antron Brown, number 2. Sean Langdon, number 3. Doug Coletta, number 4. Let's see, where's the rest of Brittany's coming in at number 12. Tony Schumacher coming in at number 9. All right, so there's Maple Grove going on up the road from us here. That's what's happening right now in NHRA and their countdown to the championship. Let's say we get over real quick. We'll take a look at, we have our own little fantasy chase going on. We have our own little fantasy chase going on in our Frat House Sports League. We've got 16 teams in our chase. We've got 4, as we do in real life. We have 4 fantasy-wise on the bubble. Interestingly, in our fantasy series, over the first 2 races, very interesting. We've not had a chaser win in our first 2 races of the chase.
Mm-hmm.
So everything right now is lined up by points in our
and apparently,
chase system.
Yep. If I understand comments correctly, one of the winners doesn't even adjust his team anymore.
Nope. Exactly right. Doesn't even pay attention to it. Doesn't even pay attention to it. Yep.
Well, yeah, don't we look like?
That happens, I know. But right now, points-wise there, Sidekick, your fantasy race team is sitting up at the top at number 1.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Speed Demon coming in at number 3. I'm coming in at number 7, and Brandon, you're coming in at number 9. So, yeah, there we have it. I don't have I don't have your sound effect up here. I pulled up the wrong one. Damn it! But anyhow, let's get to.
Were you gonna drop the bomb on me? Were you?
I wasn't gonna drop the bomb on you. I was just gonna hit your little sounder, and I must have the wrong one. I have the wrong one up here, and I can't find the other one. So, hey, we'll just go without it. We only got about 2 minutes remaining in the program. Go ahead, Psychic. What's our fantasy suggestions for today?
Oh man, well I got a pick, but I'm still going back and forth on it. I'm still trying to last minute decide whether or not I want to dump somebody. So I guess I'm just going to lock it as it is. I'm going to go with Martin Truex Jr. number 78. I'm going to go with Kevin Harvick, the number 4, the 34 of Chris Buescher, the 20 of Matt Kenseth, the 83 of Matt DiBenedetto. I'm going to go with Matt Kenseth as my winner and Toyota as my manufacturer. And just as an aside, I was deliberating dumping Harvick for Larson. So for those for those that are still trying to set their rosters, Larson is I think is also a good pick, and I was just trying to figure out, you know, how I could get him on my roster. So
interesting. Eat my dust for you, Psychic.
You know what? I'm gonna keep it all in the family together. I'm gonna stick with Matt Kenseth.
Kenseth for Psychic. All right. Current standings right now. Interesting standings for our little pick'em game that we have going here. NASCAR John sitting up at the top, 875. Psychic, you're at 864, just 11 points behind. Brandon, you and I are in a flat-out tie at 745. And a loyal listener, Liz, coming in at 726. NASCAR John today is going with Jimmy Johnson. Brandon, where are you heading?
Well, I hate to do this to you, but I'm picking your guy. I think Kyle Busch is due. So I'm going to go with Kyle Busch.
Very interesting. Well, how about this one? You're going with Kyle Busch. I'm going with Kyle Busch. Loyal listener Liz is going with Kyle Busch. So, Johnson, Kenseth,
Kyle Busch.
Sounds
like a Toyota kind of day.
Yep.
There's only one non-Toyota person.
I'll tell you. I was tempted for the longest time to go with Johnson, but all right. Anyhow, there's our program for this afternoon. Programming reminders, Tuesday night, 7 p.m. Eastern time. Be here for our all NFL program. Red Zone Blitz. Brandon and I will be breaking down everything that takes place today, mostly today, in the NFL as we're now into week 4. And so we'll be taking a look at what happens and what the outcomes are, et cetera. So you're going to want to be there on Tuesday night, 7 p.m. Eastern time. Thursday night, 7 p.m. Eastern time. Number 264 of our flagship program, the Frat House Sports Show, 7 p.m. Eastern time on Thursday night. Special Race for Motorsports Hour next Friday night at 7 p.m. Eastern time as we will have a Saturday chase race. All right. There you go. Many thanks to everybody that's been listening in. Thanks, sir. Liz, get out there and, hey, go enjoy all your sports and enjoy the racing.